for his power. Bless him for his protection and provision. Certainly we thank God for blessing us to see this first Sunday in November. God is good, and he is worthy to be praised. Come on, take your best praise out your pocket and give it to him. Come on, take it out of your purse and give it to him. Take your best praise out of your wallet and give it to him. Hey! The blood is something to shout about. Glory to his name. Listen, if you are not on fire, it's obvious you're wet wood. Amen. This is a service of worship, a service of his word. I'm glad I made it. Come on, somebody ought to be glad you made it. If the person next to you knew what you had been going through, they wouldn't look at you praise. They are praise for you. You'd have been through enough already. To praise his holy name. Glory to his name. You've been holding it in for all year long. You better get it out. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Some of you shouting as if your walls are already down. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Look at someone, if you will, and say, by faith. Look at another and say, by faith. Help me shout at the virtual audience, by faith.
By faith.
Amen. By faith. By faith. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That faith is confidence in God, a conviction from the Word of God, and consciousness of God's creative and sustaining power. It is in Hebrews chapter 11, where we hear by faith, by faith, by faith, 19 by faith statements. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. By faith, the people of God. By faith, Rahab. That faith in God is obedience unto God regardless of circumstances and consequences. That God would have us to have an active faith. Therefore, faith is more than conduct of the mind, conversation of the mouth. It is conduct in life. That active faith pleases God. Faith that causes you to respond to God in obedience, active faith. That faith without actions, faith that's not active, is dead. But it's from the pen of James, the brother of our Christ, who says faith without works is dead. And he goes on to say that you show me a man with faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. In other words, if you look at my life, if you look at the life of a Christian, a child of God, there should be evidence of God, trust in God, confidence in God, a conviction from His Word, and a consciousness of His power in their life. For we are to live by faith. It was last week we talked about Moses and how Moses expedited the escape of the children of Israel out of Egypt. That it was under the instructions of God when they were enclosed at the Red Sea that Moses had in his hand what was needed. That God had gave him a rod. And when he was enclosed at the Red Sea, Pharaoh's army was pursuing from the rear, God told Moses to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For some of us, we have a problem with standing still because we think we have to always be doing something. We are under the erroneous notion that we have to help God be God. God don't need your help. And God comes quicker than quick and faster than in a hurry. That while they were enclosed at the Red Sea, God said to Moses, stretch out your rod. And when he stretched out the rod, God sent the wind to part the waters, to dry the bottom of the sea. And the children of Israel walked across on dry land. And when Pharaoh's army pursued the people of God, God restricted the waters, and the waters drowned Pharaoh's army. It was after their deliverance from the Egyptians that God gave Moses instructions to lead them to the promised land. And they got to the promised land around Paran, Kadesh, and they sent in spies to spy out the land. And according to Numbers, 10 came back with a negative report. And only 2 came back with the positive report. The 2 were Joshua and Caleb. That they had faith in God to say to the people of God, we can take the land. But the 10 gave an evil report. And they said of the people that they were as grasshoppers in comparison to the people in the land. Listen, regardless of how big your enemies seem, regardless of how numerous your enemies may be, you plus God is the majority. You plus God is the winning team. They said, we can't take the land. But Caleb and Joshua said that we can take the land. My question to you this morning, whose report will you believe? I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. It was the 10 that caused God to turn them back into the wilderness where they meandered in the wilderness for 40 years. That doubtful generation, that unbelieving generation, had to perish in the wilderness before God will take them in the land. Only 2 made it out of that 40-year meandering. That was Joshua and Caleb. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. Pick up with Joshua in leadership. Moses has died. He was angry because the people cried out against him when there was no water. And instead of him speaking to the rock, he struck the rock. And he died in the wilderness. Let me pause to say to you what I'm not going to let you make me do. I'm going to speak to the rock. I don't care how you talk. I don't care what you do. I'm not going to get mad at God and strike at God. No, I'm going to stand flat-footed and preach the word of God. And if God says speak to the rock, I'm going to speak to the rock because I'm not in the wilderness to die. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm not in the wilderness to die. No, I'm in the wilderness to live. Come on, help me preach it. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm not in the wilderness to die. I'm in the wilderness to live. Come on, y'all didn't get it. Come on, speak to somebody that'll talk back to you and tell them, I'm not in the wilderness to die. God didn't bring me this far to leave me. I'm in the wilderness to live. Look at somebody and tell them, live, baby. Live. Live your best life because God is with you. Live. 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 He perished in the wilderness because he struck the rock. And when he died, God raised up Joshua. And Joshua took him. And he was to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. By the time Joshua took over, the Jordan River was at flood stage. Normally it wouldn't pose a challenge, but now is at flood stage. And God said to Joshua, lead these people over this Jordan River into the promised land. The Bible says he put the people in formation, and the priests bear the ark on the shoulder. And as they walked down to the Jordan, and as they were entering into the Jordan, with the people singing God's song and walking down, and as the water was coming up, and when all of the priest's feet got in the water, God separated the water. Somebody here knows that your challenges are no problem to God. That if you get in formation and if you obey God, God will do the miraculous in your life. Is there anybody in here who can be a witness? That all I had was the word of God. And if God said go, I had to go. They made it through, and right on the other side of the Jordan is this fortified city. This walled in city. Jericho. You know, God gives everybody a Jericho before you can partake and participate in the promise. There has to be a test. Jericho was the first city that the children of Israel came in contact with in the promised land. And this city had two walls surrounding the city. It is speculated that the inner wall was 14 feet wide. Wide enough for two chariots to race around the city. And the outer wall was 9 feet wide. The Bible says that the city was closed up and secured because they caught word that Israel was coming. That on the other side of the Jordan, that they had conquered cities, and the rumor got out that the God of Israel was among his people and conquering the enemies of his people. So Jericho, being an enemy of God's people, they had shut up the city. That no one went in and no one went out. But you know, God don't need in to win. And here it is. God says to them, this is in Joshua chapter 6 now. That God says to them, I'm going to give you the city. Here it is in Hebrews chapter 11. That we see faith believes the promises of God. That faith believes the promises of God because faith believes in the God of the promises. That faith trusts in what God said simply because it's God who said it. God said to them in Joshua 6 verse 2, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and mighty men of valor." Now, this is a reiteration of what God said in Joshua chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, that every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness of Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of great courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. What he said in Joshua chapter 6 verse 2 is a reiteration of what he said in Joshua 1 verses 3 through 6. Now God's word gives us assured victory. I don't care where you are in life. I don't care what you are going through in life. I don't care how many enemies are stacked up against you in life. I don't care how it seems or may be in your life. You have assured victory. Now, when God says, "I have given," you can shout. You don't have to wait until it's over. You don't have to wait until you have it in your possession. If God says, "I have given Jericho into your hand," he gives them assured victory. Well, how can you say it's assured victory? Well, you have to know the God who said it. See here, Joshua chapter 6 verse 2, "Lord" is in all caps. All capital letters, which means that he's speaking of Jehovah. Jehovah God. God who is uncaused and unchanging. God who creates all things that was created. God, Jehovah. In other words, he's the unchanging, eternal, self-existing God. He is the same God that summons Moses from the red bush and says, "I am that I am." He's a covenant-keeping God. So to know God as Jehovah implies believing that God will make good of his promises. Listen, you don't have to wait until God changes the situation before you shout. Real faith will shout while you're in it, anticipating God bringing you through it. Do I have anybody in here that may be in the midst of a fiery furnace, but you're praising God because God is going to bring you through it? Is there anybody in here that's in the midst of a valley, but the good news is he's in the valley with you and he's bringing you through it? Do I have anybody in here that's sick in their body and God told you that he's going to heal you? You may not be healed yet, but you can shout on your way to your healing. Because if God said it, he's going to bring it to pass. That we have assured victory. Not only is there assured victory, but there's absolute victory. In other words, God gives you partial nothing. Y'all didn't catch it. God gives you partial nothing. It's absolute, complete victory. Watch the text in Joshua 2:6-2. He says, not only will I give you Jericho, but I'm giving you the king and the mighty men of valor. In other words, he's giving victory over Jericho. Victory over everything in Jericho. The people, the king, and the mighty men of valor. He's given you complete victory. Let me fast forward to the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, that we have complete and continuous victory. In other words, you lose at nothing. See, that's why I can smile when people think they have the upper hand. That's why I can smile and praise God when situations think have the upper hand. See, I already know that everything God allows to come my way in life, I have victory over it because of the promise. See, if you don't get your mind together, shift and renew your mind, change and transform your mind, you'll be a Christian walking around looking like an unsaved person. You know, you see them, people who are saved, but they don't have a smile. You see them, people who are saved, they have no joy. Every time you see them, they down and out. It just hurts you to come in contact with them because that old dry spirit they have, it somehow gets on you and affect you. You see them. You know them. You know people who are Christian. You know they say, but they don't have the joy that's necessary, you know, to win somebody else to Christ. They don't have peace. That's like a senator in their minds. They are just like people who are unsaved. So you got to get this in your mind. That when your enemy, Satan, throws his best punch at you, when he hurls his best at you, you win. You win. See, I already know how this thing gonna come out. I already know it. Because I went to the end of the book and I read how it's going in. So now that I'm in the middle pages, I'm all right because I know what the end is. Is there anybody in here, you right in the middle of the book of your life and it's hard and tough, but you can stand up and shout now because you have went to the end? That we have assured victory. That faith in God, believes the promises of God. Faith in God obeys God's instructions. Joshua 6, verses 3 through 5. He says, you shall march around the city, all of you men of war, and shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And the 7 priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day, you shall march around the city seven times. And the priest shall blow the trumpet. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then, oh, hallelujah. Then the walls of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Now, here it is. Faith requires action. That Tony Evans said, actions of faith were required to make literal what God had already made legal. That they had to act in faith. They were to walk around the city 6 days. Saying nothing. About 2 million. And they were to walk around the city saying nothing. Now, watch this. The action was to walk. To walk. They were not even to harm. They were to just walk. They were not to engage in a conversation with one another. It was just walk. 2 million people. Walking. We're walking around the city. One time. For 6 days. Walking. Can you imagine while they were walking? You know, some of you worried about how people think of you and what they say of you. While they were walking. How the people of Jericho were hurling out insults. Talking about how crazy Israel looked. But they just walked. You know, sometimes that's all God wants you to do. Is just show up. You know, some of you stop showing up when you feel your enemy has the upper hand. And when people talk about you, you just stop coming. Now, you stop coming to church because you don't expect people to talk about you in church. But they just kept showing up. Every day God told them to show up, they showed up. And they were walking, doing what God said, and it looked foolish. And the Bible says that on the seventh day, now they were to walk around the city seven times. Now they had to wake up early in the morning to get the seven laps in. Because it wasn't a small city. And they were to walk around six times as they had done for 6 days. You know, when you know God got it, you got to put you in a strut with it. The more you walk, you know, the more relaxed you get. You know, that sway say, God got this thing. Do I have anybody in here want to walk with me? They did it six times. And on the seventh lamb, God said the priests are going to blow the trumpet. And when the trumpet sounds, if you got faith in God, you got to give your best shout. They came to the seventh lap. And the trumpet sounded. And the people of Israel began to shout. They shouted down the walls. And somebody in this room, you want to shout down your walls. You've been around your walls of sickness. You've been around your walls of hatred. You've been around your walls of bitterness, abuse, and scorn. You've been around your walls of poverty. And God said, when you hear the trumpet sound, you got to shout. Well, the trumpet is sounding, and you need to shout. If you're not too mean, and if you're not too ashamed, why don't you stand up on your feet and shout down your wall? Shout, shout, shout unto the Lord. Tell the Lord that you trust Him. Tell the Lord that you need Him to pull down your walls. Walls of shame, walls of sin, walls of bitterness, walls of hatred, walls of poverty, walls of jealousy and envy. You need God to pull down your wall. I don't hear you. You need to shout. Shout. Shout your troubles over. Thank God for Jesus. Because Joshua in the old is the same as Jesus in the new. Thank God for Jesus. Because Jesus led us to victory when He went to a hill called Calvary. When He died on the Calvary, He was pulling down walls. Walls of partition between Jews and Gentiles. He was pulling down walls of damnation and condemnation. So when He went on Calvary and died on the cross, He opened up to us a way to be saved through His blood. I thank God for Jesus. He did die on the cross. They took His lifeless body down from the cross and put Him in a borrowed tomb. But thank God you can't keep Him down. He stayed in the grave Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, but early Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, before the dew got on the ground, before the rooster could crow, before the women could make it to the tomb, He got up out of the grave with all power in His hand. Can I ask you my question? Then I'm going to my seat. Ain't He alright? If you know He's alright, raise your head, rear it back, and say yeah. The door of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here, you're not saved. Come give the Lord your life. Secondly, if you're here in need of a church home and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem on your heart, come. Thirdly, if you're here and you're backslidden and you want to be restored, bless you, baby. Come. 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 Deacons, say come. Preachers, say come. Deacon wives and deaconess, say come. Members, say come. Choir, say come. Pastor, say come. Jesus, say come. Come on, if you're here and you're not saved, bless you. If you're here and you need a church home, and you're here, you need to be restored. Come on. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Everyone to your feet if you will. Help me invite somebody to Christ. Yeah. Come on, come on, come on. Come on. Listen to the Lord, if you will. Come on. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. You can come by letter, Christian experience, a candidate for baptism. Come on. Come on. The day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Come to Jesus. Come to be saved. Come to be restored. Come to receive your family of faith. Come on. Rhonda Rowland coming to rededicate. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord. It means you already know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen. But you want to make active your faith in response to God's holy command. Amen. We want you to be a part of working ministry. We want you to allow God to use you to share His grace and mercy, His love, His kindness with many people through you. And not just to come and sit on the pew, but to be actively involved. You have ministries and you fit somewhere. I want you to go home and pray and ask God what it is that He would have you to do so that you would be active in your faith and an active member. Will you do that? Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you. For Sister Rollins, we pray her strength in you. Bless the Lord. Thank you for her coming. Thank you for returning her back where she belonged. In Jesus' name. Have your way in her and through her for your glory and her good. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Sister, Brother Bowie, you're asking for prayer. And certainly God hears and answers prayer. Father in heaven, He has come seeking you as God and God alone, knowing that you have grace and mercy to help him in his time of need. Protect him, Lord, from sickness and disease, hurt and harm. As Satan has launched an attack on his life, you are his shield and buckler. The Lord, you will fight this battle and take his part in war. Lord, I pray that he do as the children of Israel. Obey your command. May be strange to a lot of people, people who don't know you. For Lord, you're God and you're above all. And your ways are above our ways. So Lord, help him to obey your simple command. To walk and say something when you tell him to say something. Lord, I pray that you touch his body, touch his heart, and do a God-sized thing in his heart and in his life and in his body. Lord, that all glory and honor will go to you. Give him comfort. Give his family comfort. Give them, Lord, relaxation and rest. In your holy will. Thank you, Lord, for doing it already in his life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ask our brother in to come. If you don't have a communion couplet, please raise your hand.
Anyone?
If you don't have a communion couplet, raise your hand high. Keep your hands raised if you don't have it. Glory to his name.
Don't have it already. Jesus, pray, oh.
First Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and a few of the following. The cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The cup, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idol is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we bow in humble submission to your holy will and holy word. Father, we do not eat off both tables. We only eat from your table. Lord, we ask for forgiveness, that we will be fit to take it proper. We ask for fellowship with brothers and sisters, that we don't have aught one with another. But Lord, we will be good in our friendships and relationships, partnerships, because we eat from your table and your table alone. Lord, we pray and ask that you make us one now. Those who are here and those who are watching virtually, that we are one body in Christ. Therefore, we have communion one with another, and with the Father and with the Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, take, eat in remembrance of him. Blood shed of Christ on Calvary for the remission of our sins, take in remembrance of him. May the grace of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus Christ, rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. And every heart say, amen. Amen. Be blessed today. Love you to life.